Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. I'm telling you, I adore broadcasting. And it's just another beautiful day in New Jersey. It's for the first time getting a little chilly and nippy out there. We've had a fantastic winter so far. But like my dad used to always say, in like a lamb, out like a lion. But without further ado, I want to introduce to you my very special guest this evening, who I have not seen in person in quite a while because he moved away, and he'll tell you all about that. But his name is Coleman R. Bryce. He is a singer-songwriter, a recording artist, and so much more. And you're going to learn about Coley. I'm going to introduce Coley now. Hi, Coley.
Well, hello. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. I'm doing really good. The weather's been fabulous. I was outside just with a light jacket on today. I think tomorrow will be a little colder. Now, Coley, a lot of people, I think, have been looking forward to this interview because I got a lot of response and people saying, oh, I like this and I like this, because you've been away now for a while. And I did in the promo tell everyone that you're a Jersey guy. You were born and raised in New Jersey. But when did you leave and move to Maine? How long ago was that?
It was the summer of 2012. We moved to Eastport, Maine.
Okay. So you've been there for a while now.
Yep. We love it here. We've discovered when we moved back from California, we kind of had sticker shock when we went back to the New Jersey shore. And I was looking for a place where, you know, in New Jersey, I always kind of felt like a divided spirit. There was the artistic an intellectual aspect of myself that came alive in Asbury Park and its music and creative cultural community, and then kind of more the rustic, outdoorsy, masculine aspect of my personality felt much more at home at the Lavalette Fire Department and boating and in the ocean and all that. And somehow those worlds seemed really far apart in New Jersey, but when I moved up to Eastport, I really found myself in the middle of a very eclectic, fiercely eclectic, but really charming and diverse community comprised of some really amazing artists and, you know, coupled with a working waterfront with, like, really hearty, you know, people you would think of when you think of Maine, you know, some real tough dudes on the waterfront. And I just found
right.
a combination of that really spoke to my soul and just, I don't know, just felt like the right place to be.
Right. Now, you mentioned California. What part of California were you in, and how? When were you in California? How long did you live there?
I was in California for a few years. I had been on the road for a year, actually, hosting an internet reality TV show.
Oh, I didn't know that. See? I learned something new every day.
And while I was out there on the road, I had bought some domains, including the one for classicrecords.com. And long story short, an old acquaintance of mine had gotten a hold of me and invited me to come out to Hollywood to be the marketing director for his audiophile record label called Classic Records. But
okay.
He was also starting a new media music company called themusic.com. And he basically also invited me to basically work double duty, but have very strong creative input in what themusic.com was. And what that
right.
was, we were pioneers in live internet streams. Like in the year 2000, we had 128 kilobyte live CD quality internet streaming, secure downloads, community-based stuff. It was just
wow,
really cool.
You were in
site.
The you're like a frontiersman, just like you said. That's what you like. That's what's exciting for you. That's great. That's great. Fabulous.
And it was out there in Hollywood where, and it was fun for my musical aspirations too. I got to play the Sunset Strip and the Viper Room and the Roxy, and I was actually the last person to interview Ray Charles before he died.
Really? Oh, that's amazing. I wish I knew that. I would have put that in the promo. Oh, that's really amazing. Do you have the review, or do you have anything? You know what? Could you do me a favor? Not necessarily right tonight, but after the show, but if you could just give me a few sentences, I'd be happy to put that in the promotion as I, send this interview out everywhere, because that is really a phenomenal thing, a phenomenal experience that you had for your career.
Well, there's a lot of stuff I did there. I was in Bernie Gurman's mastering studio making mastering decisions on the Led Zeppelin catalog being put back out on vinyl. I secured the rights to release Amy Mann's catalog on SACD.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have all that information. I didn't have, but that's why we're doing the interview too. I mean, I had, collected what you had on, I kind of Googled you and then looked at your, all of the information I could find on you. But see, I didn't know some of those very important tips. So, if you want to jot them down or just send them to me in a private message, I'll add them a little blurb to the interview. But so tell us just a little bit more about California, and that's great that you made it. I never even went to Hollywood, and I lived in San Diego. Shame on me for 28 years. And I never even went to San Francisco. I just stayed right in, talk about taking a New Jersey girl. Like, you can take the Jersey girl out of Jersey, whatever, but you can't, the saying. I won't go into that.
I've been to San Diego, and I could understand someone getting quite comfortable there.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I went from one beach to the other. It was just plop, over I went. Throw me over from Jersey to San Diego, Oceanside, Carlsbad area, right at the beach. Too comfortable, actually. Too comfortable. And as far as the music is concerned, I really didn't do too much there music-wise. To do music, I went to Texas. I did some I went to Billy Bob's in Texas. This isn't about me, but I did do a little more traveling to do my music, but I didn't go up to L.A. L.A. for my country music at that time, when I was doing music, it wasn't really a big thing anyway. But as far as I'm concerned. But back to you.
Well, I love
this
Hollywood.
This is so interesting for me.
I met Manuela.
That's where you met Manuela.
We met on Hollywood
either.
Boulevard in a place called the Green Room.
Really? That is so phenomenal.
Yeah, we're both going to see a friend of ours from Stockholm, Sweden, named Sophie Bjork, who was showcasing her songs in this small venue one night. And I don't know. I was there just kind of support my friend who also lived in the same building as me. And Manuela walked in the room, and I just was like, I don't know.
Stay
hit
on
by
the
lightning.
Floor.
Yeah.
Well, Manuela, let's face it. Manuela is a beautiful woman inside and out. I had the pleasure of getting to know her a little bit, and she really is a very beautiful woman. So, and you are a very handsome guy, and you're all both so creative that I could understand where there would have been some pretty heavy-duty sparks flying there for the two of you. And, when I think of happy couple...
I never said it was for the two of us. I had to hunt her down.
Oh, stop it
dog.
Now. Wait a minute, Coley. Let's back up.
I had to
Did
work
I miss
for it.
Something? Did I miss something there?
No, she... She was in love with me too. She just took her a couple more months to realize it. That's all.
Oh, you had to pursue Manuela.
Oh God, yeah. Well, I didn't.
Well, yeah,
of course.
I
didn't pursue her at first. And when I found out that she was available, then I was quite hearty in my pursuit.
Well, I will tell you this: any woman that is as beautiful as Manuela has the right to be pursued. And pursued hard. Hey, for any of you guys out there, I'm single, remember? I'm single. I'm looking for the first time in many years. it's my birthday time next month. And around my birthday time, I get so silly and giddy. It's not even December yet, and I'm even starting sooner now. But getting back to this, so anyway, when I do think, like I was saying, when I think of happy couples, and believe me, I don't know, like, trillions of them, but, you know, I definitely, you are one of the couples that I admire so much because, you know, the times that I've been was over your house when you were helping with me with my music and getting it on iTunes and doing all that stuff that I had no idea what to do. I could see the two of you, like, had a very loving interaction. And, you know, and it's been great to see you on Facebook and just to have known you for the time that I did know you, and also, of course, knowing your best friend, Jay Walker, you know, Jason Lusardi from before he was born, because his mother was my best friend from when we were 18. So there was kind of like a
also
connection.
Known as the best bass player at the Jersey Shore and beyond.
Pardon me?
Also known as the best bass player at the Jersey Shore and beyond.
Oh. Absolutely, absolutely, and thank you for saying that. And yes, I did mention Jay. I tried to get a hold of Jay, but he's not on Facebook or anything, and I don't have a recent number for him. So, and his dad also, of course, Steve, who was one of my friends since I was 18 years old, and I used to go when he was playing. Yeah, a fabulous B3 organ player and pianist, one of the best. And he was on my CD, but, you know, Steve Lusardi also, they call him the maestro, and there's a good reason for that,
really,
because
he really could have ended up in the E Street Band, but then he had this little kid called Jay.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, my brother Billy could have been in the E Street Band, too, but he was also 5 years older than Bruce, and he was asked to be with Bruce's band, and he turned him down, and he said, No, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. And then my brother did go a few years later with, he went on tour with the James Cotton Blues Band as lead guitarist. And then years later, he went on tour with Clarence Clemons and the Red Bank Rockers for a year and a half. So Billy ended up, you know, number two on the monument in Asbury Park. It says Johnny Shaw, Billy Ryan, and then Bruce Springsteen. But Billy does have 5 years on Bruce, so I think that had a lot to do with it. And plus, Billy is really a jazz blues guitarist. I mean, that's his bag. And even though he can play anything else, that's what he really loves is jazz and blues. But okay, Coley, I'm gonna.
Moving up here, the biggest hardship has been, in many respects, just not having access to the New Age Blues experience, my band. Like, I really miss playing with my Jersey brothers. That's a.
I bet.
We do get together a few times a year for gigs, but the biggest.
And they miss you.
Yeah, I definitely miss them, personally and musically. I mean, we just had a certain sound together and a certain rapport with each other that when we get together, it's just kind of effortless.
I know. Well, I had the blessing of being on stage once with you guys at the Saint, and that was a trip. And you know that, and I always loved listening to you because you definitely
have.
Well, these
are guys that can back up anybody at any time in real time. You could just go up and do whatever you do, and we're gonna create a tapestry. Find you that's sympathetic to what you're trying to do.
I know, because you're so creative and you're so, the word's not, I could use the word impetuous, intuitive. There's so many different words I could use for you guys. Impromptu. You're just like, you know, and it's unusual and different. That's what I like about it. That's what I've always loved about your guitar playing, is that it's so unique. It's different than, you know, you just are a different type of a guitarist. That's all there is to it. And I did kind of, when I read about you, and I read about the Luna Muse, you call it, I think? Is that what you call it?
Yeah, here's your creative philosophy. I call it the Luna Muse principle.
Right,
translated, that means crazy inspiration, and it's about trying to let go of your ego and tune into the natural presence of any given musical moment.
And that is so cool, and you better write that down for me too, because I should put that down, because that's like pure to me music genius. That's all it is. Because you know, when you're a musician and you hear the same thing over and over, and then you're just waiting, and with music today, and you listen, you go, God, just get me back to the 60s. Come, give me some, like you said, like give me some Led Zeppelin. Give me some, like, of this, I can't even think at the top of my head, all of the artists that I used to listen to, you know, Garcia and, like, you know, all these musicians that I absolutely loved. Steppenwolf. I can't even think, right, because there's too much going on in my head even talking to you. I'm so excited. I was so excited to talk to you because it's been quite a while. Like you said, since 2012, it's going to be 2016. That's like 4 years. That's a long time. Time flies, but that is still a long time, 4 years to be away from the Jersey Shore music scene. I know you've been here. You've visited, but it's different than living here day after, you know, being here every day.
It is, and you appreciate the time you're there more. It's more sacred, like mm-hmm. every little salt air. You know, there's just...
I know. I couldn't come and... Yeah.
You just appreciate your visits there more when you don't have
right.
it every day.
Right. The Lippmans are back, Mark and Joan Lippman. And so they asked me, invited me to sing at the Saint. And it was great because, I don't get to sing with my guitar very much. And I bought a few new guitars since you've been away. I bought a Baby Martin to play with at home and rehearse on. And then I bought a beautiful Yamaha with the built-in amplifier and the built-in tuner. And it's just gorgeous. And I got a great buy on it. I got it at Monmouth Music in Red Bank. And... but to tell you the truth, like when I got into broadcasting,
I bought my Lefty White at American Standard was that same store.
Uh huh. Yeah. And so but since you know, since I was started interviewing and since you helped me and you did that review on my music, I got into the I knew from my first interview that I wanted to do broadcasting, and it Coley, it's been awesome. I mean, if you go to my Ryan Rocks page and just scroll back and see all the guests that I've had on, it's incredible. And if you knew, you won't be able to see the Hamilton guests because they grew so fast they didn't get to put them all up there. But I have them on a zip, whatever you call those little things, a zip drive, so that I can go back and listen and you know, put it all down and have it all archived. But your show will be archived and forever. Ever. Like, it's going to, 5 minutes later, it's going to be on my page, go all over the world, and it will be there forever because how I started was in Blog Talk Radio. But getting back to
cool.
the show. I went on, and they still had me after I was away for years. I just logged on, and they go, okay, I created my new episode. I didn't miss, like, a week. Just started right up again, and I have the same kind of reach. It's just phenomenal. So I'm just so happy. But I want to ask you this. This is the main question. Who influenced you the most when you were growing up, and why? Doesn't have to do with music or anything. It just could be about anything. Just whoever influenced you the most when you were growing up, and why, like as a kid.
I think my uncle, Ribby. My uncle is deaf. And he, when people were trying to get out of Vietnam, he actually snuck his way into the army and overcame his handicap to be accepted. And then my grandmother ratted him out and they threw him out.
Oh, that's intense.
But he spent his life as a commercial diver, like doing like heavy duty welding and stuff under.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I knew a guy in California, a fellow in California that did that. There's a lot of money in that. And that's a very dangerous job, too. So you should make a lot of money doing that.
Well, it wasn't so much that he made so much money that was what made him.
Well, I know. But I just was thinking about this fellow because I rented his house. It was a 5-bedroom house in San Diego. So, anyway, but tell me more about this, because this is very interesting. People are trying to get out of Vietnam, and your uncle is going into Vietnam.
Well, my point was, he's this guy that was this really, this rugged dude, but I never saw him ever be anything but gentle to anyone else, and he just had a certain quiet, stoic quality about him. He was a doer, not a talker, and I was always, I always looked up to him, and I always felt like if I was okay with Uncle Ribby, then I was okay.
How do you spell his name?
Well, his name is Robert Ivory Bryce, so they called him Rib for short.
Okay. Okay. Because I didn't understand when you were calling him. I thought, well, that's a very unusual name. What is that? You know? So now
well,
I know.
His initials are Rib, and he was a skinny kid, so they started calling him Ribby.
Ribby, right. Ribby. Yeah, I was wondering, what is this? What is this? But I'll tell you what. When I saw pictures of you on Facebook in your new environment in Maine, and I'm talking about when you set up, whenever you started setting up your Facebook, I don't even remember when it was, but I thought to myself immediately, I was so thrilled for you because I said, dang it, Coley and Manuela and their children are, and their beautiful, beautiful dogs are definitely in their element. I mean, I really could feel that. I could feel it, that it was just the right thing and the right place. It's not easy to just up, excuse me, and move, you know, to a new location and start your life all over again. And I wondered, too, if you had relatives there.
We don't, but, you know, a friend of mine, an acquaintance, has a camp up here that people from La Valette, where I was...
Excuse me.
Where I come from, my father's side of the family comes from La Valette.
Right.
My grandfather and his generation had a hunting camp they all came up to here for, you know, over half a century. So when I was thinking about relocating up here and we went to look at a house, we stayed in this cabin and I there was a log there of visitors, and I got to read things that my own grandfather wrote.
Oh, wow.
Old
That's
newspapers
fabulous.
In the Jersey Shore from like the 1940s, still in this old cabin.
That
and what
is
it was,
so awesome.
So it was almost like time travel. It was coming up here. It's a little slower, and people are a little more old-fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the traditions and stuff that are kind of getting washed away in the tide of technology and fast pace of life in New Jersey. You know how New Jersey used to be. There used to be dirt roads. There used to be root beer stands. There used to be farm stands.
Of course,
And now it's all like Hovnanian developments and just a grid of asphalt.
Well, I'll tell you what it is, really. What it is, it's life in the fast lane come to reality. Life in the fast lane, like the club, it has come to reality.
Yeah, I just wanted a place where my kid could go outside with a BB gun and his dogs and just kind of be the way a boy used to be a boy. Like, you know, I want him to know how, I want him to be able to have a campfire in the backyard without having, like, the police there.
Oh, Carly, you're such a good daddy. You're such a good father, and you have a daughter. How old is your daughter now?
My daughter, Brianna, is 19, and she's
attending Wagner. And is she with you in Maine as well, or?
She's on campus at Wagner. She's studying musical theater.
Oh, wonderful. That's wonderful.
She's doing really good. She's got a person, a casting director at Disney that's interested in her.
Great,
and,
great. She's following in her daddy's footsteps, right, for sure.
Well,
that's
hopefully,
great.
Hopefully the good ones, not the bad ones.
Well, we don't talk about those. We'll just talk about the good. But I'm writing a tell-all book. It's going to be very interesting because, you know, I call myself like tri-coastal. You know, I lived in Jersey. Then I lived in California. Well, I've traveled. I've done a bit of traveling in my day. But anyway, we won't go there. The show's about you, and we don't have a lot of time. I used to do an hour show, and so we could talk, but now I only do a half an hour, and I usually end up going over. And they do record it. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit more, too. And I miss seeing you, and I do, and I know so many people miss you. I'm sure they're going to be listening to this. That's why I want you to talk more. And I've always just thought that you were a really – nice, genuine, down-to-earth gentleman, a nice guy. And, you know, there aren't a lot of them around anymore. And so your parents, whoever raised you, they did a good job, Coley. They did a really good job. And Manuela, too, and she's so talented. And I know that she's a singer, and I put that also in the promotion. And I just wish you guys the best, and I think you're living your dream, and you're in love, and it's just phenomenal. I love your dogs. What kind of dogs are they again? I remember when you first got them, they were little puppies.
They're Lab Mariners.
Sunny
and
Rudy. Beautiful. They're like chocolate brown, light chocolate brown.
Yeah, they're the true loves of Manuela's life.
They're gorgeous.
They're gorgeous.
Yeah, I sent her a picture. I remember I sent a picture. It was in a magazine, like a really high-end magazine, and it had those dogs. And the dog had, like, turquoise and sterling silver collar on. And I think I sent it to her in the mail when you guys were still living here, because they certainly are beauties. But,
if you like dogs, an interesting thing you might know is that my brother has their brother and sister from a subsequent litter.
Oh, cool. That's cool. Well, if you want to know something interesting about dogs, you go to Gina Ryan, G-I-N-A Ryan, because my sister Gina owns North Star, which is smooth collies, and she has forever, and she's got... All her dogs are champions. So she's got smooth collies, rough collies. They're different kind of, you know, some are smooth with short hair. Some are rough and have longer hair. Then she's also got two Chinese Cresteds that are also champions. But she runs, we had the biggest thing a few years ago, she had our dog Ryan, who was just absolutely stunning, was asked out of 9 dogs in the country to be in Westminster. And he did not win the show at Westminster, but to be even in the show was a big feather in her cap. But she shows lots of dogs that are, owned by other people, because she's a trainer and she trains in everything, from obedience to agility to herding to you name it, she does it. She is just one of the best. So if you ever have a minute, go on her page and you can see my sister Gina and see some of her. She's always winning awards for her the dogs that she shows. She's just really the best, and I love her. She's my youngest sister. There's like 8 of us, and I'm the oldest. There's 4 girls and 4 girls, 4 boys in my family. I'm the oldest girl, so she's the youngest. A lot of years between us, lots of years between us. But, Coley, we could talk forever. And it looks like we have like 2 minutes. Like, you can't tell people to come and see you because they're going to have to come all the way from New Jersey to Maine. But you can certainly tell them they should come and visit Maine and have some lobsters. And while they're at it, come and see you play somewhere. I would love to come to Maine. I've never been in Maine. So, and my dad had lobster fishing boats, so we ate the New Jersey lobsters. We didn't eat the Maine lobsters, but the Maine lobsters are supposed to be the best, so they say.
They are quite good up here. And
yeah.
We do have some musical festivals and stuff, and I've played a fair share of them. I've gotten to open up for Dick Dale up here. And
great.
I've played with called Rockweed Ensemble, and we did 30 dates this year. I'm pretty active. One thing I'd like people to know is that my next album that I release will be my 30th.
Ah, amazing. Just amazing. I've only done one, and it's like I can't even fathom that. I cannot fathom 30 albums. I cannot. I put it in your promotion because it's just unbelievable the amount of work that you have done and the amount of energy and just the – I mean, it boggles my mind. I have 100 songs written, but if you ask me to even remember a melody from some of them, I won't even remember the melody anymore because I didn't know how to, I didn't know how to write music. I would just put the slashes and you know me. I'm just a self-taught,
When I was young, I was very much, I really learned about home recording. I've always been fortunate that I've been empowered because I've always had the capability of self-producing and documenting my own stuff.
Right.
Sometimes. And that's not to discredit a professional engineer in any way, because I know just enough about it to really appreciate the guys that do it professionally and well.
Mm-hmm.
I've been able to hack my way through to make some pretty decent recordings and document my life, my life's journey through music. So I've been grateful for that. And whoever is listening, I saw there was some really nice responses actually from not just the Jersey Shore, but even like in Europe and stuff.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
Well, say thank you for your sustained interest in what I do, and I'll keep doing it.
You know, Coley, I will always be interested in you and Manuela and your lovely family, because I think you're just great people. I mean, I don't think it. I know it. You're just great people. And there's a saying, and I'll send it to you. I might have even sent it to you. If I didn't, I'm going to, and I think Manuela will appreciate it too, because it's a redheaded woman, and she's got a red owl, and the owl is up to her face, and the wing is over her shoulder. And it talks about, like, when you know you, when you meet your tribe. It's I don't know exactly how, but it's a saying, and I use it because sometimes I'll go, well, Nancy, a.k.a. Redheaded Night Owl, and then I'll attach that download, or upload, rather, that to, because it's such a beautiful photograph, and it's such a nice saying. It's like, when you meet your tribe, you'll know it, in other words. And when I met you through Jason, I knew immediately, and I just admire both of you, and I hold you guys in high esteem. Because of the type of people that you are, the character, the integrity. And I'm quite the old-fashioned type in a lot of ways myself. I mean, I'm not closed-minded or a prude or anything like that by any means, but I am going to be, Coley, get ready, 69 years old. Still have really young guys asking me out, but I go, I wish I could get a guy that's a little more my age to ask me out, but I'm so young at heart. I'm such like
Nancy,
a little kid.
Nancy, did you know that when I was a Lavalette firefighter, our station was 69?
Really? Oh, well, I don't know if that has anything to do with our karma together, but I am just so happy that I finally got to have you on my radio show, and this is the way it works for me. It's usually years later, and this is 4 years later that I'm finally having, well, but it's only 3.5 years I'm in broadcasting, but I had collected, you had gone, and I had collected like 100 cards I have of people, and then I keep going out. So every time I go out, then I get more people. And now people just come to me. I don't even have to go out anymore. I don't have to. I just got, the greatest. I heard the Eagles, the Best of the Eagles tribute at McLoon Supper Club. And I'm having the leader, the lead singer of that band on my show. They were phenomenal. You could close your eyes and you would have thought that you were at an Eagles concert. That's how good they were as a tribute band. And I do appreciate the tribute bands because I don't get to see the real thing. I don't even know if the Eagles are still touring. But, you know, I was there when they were, so that I'm grateful for. I have a lot to share. But it has been wonderful talking with you, and I'm over, definitely over. You know, the show's ended. It's still recording, and they won't cut it off, us off, but I don't like to take advantage of a good thing. And
okay.
I'm really happy to have my studio in-house, and I just want to thank you so much for coming on my show, Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style. And if you will take a minute afterwards and just tell me those few things about the interview that you did with Ray Charles, the thing that you told me about ZZ Top or Led Zeppelin or something about that, I'll add it in. And anything you want me to add to the post promotion, I will do it, because it will go out with your, you know, all people have to do, this is what I love about my Ryan Radio, is that it will show up in front of your face, and all you have to do is click your thumb on the arrow, and it says, hello, this is Nancy Ryan, and you listen to the interview, and you can listen to it at your convenience. It's for your pleasure and convenience, so people, if they missed this live interview.
Well, I actually am chatting with a couple folks right now that are having a hard time tuning in. And
they
I want to wish John Salco a happy birthday. He's one of them.
Hey, did he call into the number that, did you give him the call-in number?
Well, I posted everything to some, you know, Nancy, you weren't always so technologically proficient when you first started.
Yeah, but no, but this is all through my studio. There should be no goof-ups whatsoever. If he called the number, the 213-943-3559, he should be able to be listening to this show as we speak. He may not be able to listen.
I'll help him listen after we wrap up.
Well, it's going to go on my Nancy Ryan. Just go to my Nancy Ryan because I'll probably eat dinner first, but then I'm going to promote it later tonight or tomorrow the latest, and it will go on all the pages, and it will be right on your page. I'll put it on your page right away so people can just go on your page and click it and listen too. But also they can just go to blogtalkradio.com/Ryan-rocks-it-asbury, what's in the promo, and have no problem whatsoever. But what they're doing, well, anyway, believe me, everybody's going to listen to this interview. Luna Muse, Mr. Coleman R. Bryce, singer, songwriter, recording artist, born a Jersey man, fantastic father, husband, lover, the whole, you name it. I think I've gone overboard now. I had pumpkin pie with whipped cream on it and a cup of coffee before the show. What?
Sounds good. It's been great catching up with you. I hope we do it again sometime. You have a good evening, Nancy.
We will. You're great. Terrific having you.
LouisBryce.com if anyone wants to actually check out the music.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're on Facebook, CD Baby. I put everywhere you are. iTunes, everywhere. Coley, have a wonderful night.
Take care, Nancy. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye, everybody. Coley's going off the line. I'm going to give you my quick my promotional people that I do, and that's Helping Hands of New Jersey. It's Hometown Heroes. Tent City, my friend, Minister Brig... Minister Steve Brigham, who's doing phenomenal things as always, trying to help the homeless people, hitting the streets for the homeless, Monmouth Ocean County Food Bank, and my very last, and I'm so excited about this because I've become a volunteer with SPCA, is I will be promoting the SPCA after each and every show now, and I'm so happy to be doing that. So listen, folks, you're used to me. You're used to my, 3.5 years of getting very overly excited. I should never have sugar before my shows. In any case, thank you all for listening tonight. God bless you all. Till next time. Adios, amigos. Over and out. Bye-bye. I'm hanging up right now.